Otakuology Podcast with Otaku Mike Engine Graves.
Konnichiwa. Okarin asai. Koko ni betsu no episode ga ari amasu. Donjon mashi. For anybody that doesn't know that, that was basically Japanese for hello, welcome back to the show. Here's another episode of Delicious in Dungeon for you guys. I had to do that special for you.
I wasn't expecting that whatsoever.
Well, I think we may have to start calling it by the Japanese name because it rolls off the tongue.
Really?
Donjon Mashi.
Okay.
No, I was sitting here thinking about it while we were talking before the show, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to make somebody's day either really good or really bad. Because remember the last time we were talking about on Usagi Pajimbo? Some guy was like, I can't believe you need it. How long have you been reading manga or watching anime? How is your Japanese so bad?
Yeah, he said I needed to learn Bushido or something like that. I can't remember what he is.
Well, and that's asinine because Bushido is the way of the sword. So
I don't remember exactly what
way of the samurai. I looked it up, and I was like, yeah, this first O word right here after konnichiwa, I'm not going to get that shit.
I was like, I'm from Texas, and I'm white guy.
Okarin and Asai?
I even brought this up on Usagi Pajimbo the other day.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm a white guy. I'm going to mispronounce every Japanese thing. Probably.
I'm just a white guy.
I'm a white guy from Texas.
I'm gonna mispronounce.
English. English words. So what do you want?
How about this one? Hola. Buenos vidos des nuevo AGH Ultra Episode D. Delicious in Donjon.
Was that Spanish?
Yeah, except for the delicious and dungeon part. Yeah.
Well, we are talking about episodes 9 and 10 of Delicious and Dungeons today.
This is true.
I feel like we say this all the time, but man, I feel like we got a good episode for you guys today.
Right. And the worst part is I hate that.
Why is that?
I hate that because I'm like, everything needs like a down episode, and almost every episode of Delicious in Dungeon has been like this really good upbeat episode. I'm like, fuck.
Well, I mean, we could probably be a little critical with episode 9, maybe. I don't know. You know,
we can be critical with episode 9 on the clothing because it's called Delicious in fucking Dungeon, not Delicious in my clothes. Okay.
You mean episode 10?
No, wasn't it the first one?
Because episode 10. Oh, yeah, the vines. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Remember, they did the thing at the same time, and it was like, I'm going to make clothes, and I'm going to cook.
I was thinking of the frog thing.
That's what I was thinking of.
And that's episode 10.
Touché. You're not wrong. I'm just confused because there were tentacles all over this mess. Like even
there were a lot
like
of tentacles. A lot of tentacles.
Even worse than a tentacle-based hentai, okay? They was everywhere.
You're not wrong about that. There were so many fucking tentacles.
Oh, I fucking know I'm not wrong.
I'm surprised we didn't get like, you know, like the fondling tentacles where they would like fondle like the women or something.
Oh my god. Right.
Like, because like in like before we like each like episode they have like a disclaimer like, oh, there's violence, there's nudity, you know, whatever. I think I've seen maybe one half naked chick, and that was the mermaid. But like other than that, I haven't seen any fan service whatsoever.
Oh yeah, she was half naked.
Yeah, she was like half naked, but her boobage was covered by her hair. Oh, her hair, true. Her hair covered her boobage.
See, I've been reading Interspecies Reviewers, and there is no coverage on that.
So. No, none whatsoever.
So, for sure.
Which I'm still wait. I'm still waiting, you know, for like some fan service, some like titties or something, you know, some jiggle, or you know, I don't know, a nip slip or a.
What are you talking? We've already gotten some jiggle whenever they jiggle the food.
Oh, that's true. But like you know, jiggle, like you, or like maybe somebody trips and falls into a pair of nice boobies, you know.
It's but we don't. Some dungeon. Let's just face it.
I know. I'm just perpetuating stereotypes within the Japanese animation.
You're perpetuating it in fantasy-based manga?
Yeah.
Always happens.
Totally. Which I want to talk about later. When we get to episode 10, I want to talk about something that I noticed. But we'll get into that later. But right now, we're talking about episode 9.
Yeah.
Episode 9.
So we're kind of coming off of episode 8 with this because we're still with
the water
group.
Thing.
We're still with the group. The group from episode 8 that walked down, which is Tansu's group, or what's the girl's name?
Namari.
Namari, yes, the female dwarf.
Namari, the female dwarf.
Yep. So it's kind of like her group that they have.
Yeah, she got hired by the gnomes?
Yeah, Tansu.
The Mr. and Mrs. Tansu?
Yes. Yes.
Which I just got to say, I hate this fucking gnome. I hate him a lot.
No shit.
He's like, a fucking asshole.
The weird thing is, like, reading the manga, like, I didn't think that. Like, I was like, oh, he's okay. And then, like, I'm watching the episode, I'm like, this guy is way more of a dick than I thought.
Dicks, yeah.
Like I don't know what in the manga, like, geared me off for him to not be that way. But, like, I'm watching this, and I'm like, what the fuck is up with this guy? Like, I'm not even in this world, and I want to beat his ass. I mean, he's just a dick about everything.
I think for me personally, it was because he wouldn't heal Marcel
without a price. Well, let's jump the gun a little bit,
okay?
And we'll do this, and then we'll come back to this beginning part.
Okay.
What did you think the first time when he's like, "An Undyne is an elemental spirit that us gnomes have been in contrast with these elemental spirits since the beginning of time. We'll be okay, Namari and whatever the twins are. Let's go." And he starts going, and the Undyne is like fucking pissed. And he fucking pushes Namari in front of him. And he doesn't like,
push her. He pulls her because she is behind him.
And it like, the Undyne like fucking like, oh god! Like elephant rifle, like goes through
her bullet through, puts a fucking water bullet through her head.
Yes,
and I was like, I was like, oh my fucking god! Like I was like, like we went there. I was like, hey, goodbye, Namari.
Hey, that was your appendages going into holes that you wanted.
I mean, that's true because it was a water tentacle, kind of.
It was, yeah,
a little bit. Yeah,
and it wasn't a hole that you expected. It was straight through the forehead. True,
she got her brains all blown out, and they got all on that gnome guy.
Right, but that was fucking gruesome.
Oh,
that was gruesome as shit.
That was so unexpected.
It was, and like,
I was like, what the fuck?
I know we've had death and like other things in this, but it hasn't been like so bad. As that, like, even when they're killing a monster, I don't feel like it's been that bad.
No.
But whenever this moment happened where Mr. Tansu pulled Namari in front of him, and that happened, I was like, nope, I'm done. Like, I don't know. I might need to take a break.
And he kind of, like, ducked behind her, too. And he basically used her as a human shield.
He did, yeah. I mean, it was like, I think this has got to go down as, like, my most gruesome, like, thing that's happened in this so far.
I have to say, because I had to look this up,
Yeah.
I had a hard time telling if Namari's voice actor was a man or a woman because of the way the voice was played.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that was intentional, you know, or whatnot, because I know women can have, like, a very wide range of voices, you know.
Right. You know, especially dwarves, so, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think of, like, Monica Rial, who can, like, do, like, a really high voice and, like, a really, like, deep gravelly voice, you know.
Right.
But this one, I couldn't tell, so I had to look it up, and it's a woman, and she's a non-binary woman, which is... It's cool, you know, she's a voice actress, you know.
Well, see, and I thought this was a man that was doing it too.
I did too at first. So, I thought it was a man at first.
So I was like, this has never tripped me up as much as like with Cowboy Bebop and Ed. Like,
I know, right.
Or a girl. Know? Like, because like, yeah. I know that character's supposed to be a girl.
Yeah.
But this is a very masculine voice coming out.
Very. And I wonder if it's because it's like a dwarf and. You know, maybe
I don't know. Like when Namari spoke, I was like, "Man, like she put Senshi to shame."
Yeah, you know, I talk like this. You know,
exactly.
You got to use those. You got to use all dwarf weapons.
Like somebody's grandpa. Like after he puts in like some dip or something. Like that's exactly the voice. Like, and he's been smoking for years. Like that is exactly the voice that I thought that this was. Threw me off.
But yeah, so Laos. And the group meet Namari again. And apparently, it's only been a week since episode 1 to episode 9. It's been a week so far.
Right.
Which, that's crazy to think about, because I don't remember how they track days within the dungeon.
I don't think they do.
Namari does.
Chilchuk has to.
Probably.
Because they've been talking about how fast they've had to get down there to get to the dragon.
That's right. I remember now. But yeah. So Laos makes a deal with Tansu. Or Tansu? Is it Tansu?
Yeah, Tansu.
Tansu. He makes a deal with Tansu that, you know, he'll help him out, but he has to basically help Namari out. No, help Marcel out in return. And yes. What Tansu and his group are trying to do, if I remember correctly, you can correct me if I'm wrong, they're looking for Elvish writing within the dungeon itself to figure out the dungeon.
So let me expand on that, because you're not wrong. They're trying to find a
particular like magic spell, right?
Yeah, there's a particular magic spell they want to know, but what they're trying to do is go through and learn all of the magic circles that are in there.
We kind of learned that at the beginning of next episode.
Right, because they know that all of these things are somehow related to it, but they think, and they looked at them, and they thought maybe like they would have found it by the point that they got to, but... They haven't found it, so they're pretty sure that that resides with the
Mad Mage.
Keeper of the dungeon. Yeah,
the Mad Mage.
Which now we have a name for who the Mad Mage, because before that we didn't have a name for them either.
Who is the Mad? What's the name of the Mad Mage? I must have missed that.
No, the Mad Mage.
Oh, the Mad Mage. Okay, yeah.
Because before we didn't have a name.
Yeah,
they were just.
I thought you meant like their first name, you know, which like. Dale the Mad Mage.
Oh no, I don't think they ever get an actual name. Oh,
okay.
But we have this. We have where you know, Mr. Tansu is an asshole, and you know all that. They want to get past this area. You know all that. Of course, he's got to worry about Namari and all that. He ends up, bringing back Marcel.
Well, later on, he brings back Marcel.
Yeah, he heals both of them and everything, which we also find out that this type of magic to bring people back is actually, like, very rare. Like, only really high casters do it.
Yeah.
And Mr. Tansu is basically a specialist of this. So as long as he doesn't die himself, he can basically res a party all on his own.
We also find out that there's a special magic in the dungeon where the souls can't leave the dead bodies as well.
Right.
So that's why it's so easy
and we've kind of known this for a little while, but it hasn't been like thrown out in our faces.
No, it hasn't.
Because I think it was the beginning of episode 10 that we got that again.
With the other party, what's his name's party got revived several times.
Not what's his face's party, but whenever Namari went to go check with the dungeon guy on
bodies. That's what it was,
Which I mean, I was surprised we didn't see those other people's bodies up there at all anyway. So
that's true. Yeah.
But we do get some really cool stuff. We find out that basically the Namari is like this ultimate weaponsmith. Mm-hmm. She knows what type of stuff is just by looking at something, by like pinching it. She knows what it's made of. She knows by what its look, its shine, whatever. And we find out that basically that this pot that Senshi has been made out of like...
they called it like adamantium. But I was adamantium? Did they get Wolverine?
They got Wolverine.
Right? but it's very strong, and we know that Senshi's pot and his lid are made out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out that how strong this is. It's strong enough, and I love this part because it reminds me of the Hobbit, where Smaug's rattling off like how powerful he is, you know, like and making the comparison. So with this, like, it's so strong that dragon's breath won't melt it.
Yeah.
A dragon's fang won't pierce through it. And I think they said a dragon's claw won't scratch it.
Yeah, I think that's really
And so, like, we have this power level. Like, it's better than a dragon.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, why is it a cooking bot? That's the funny thing about all of it. Why is it a cooking bot?
It used to be a shield.
Yes.
And then he's like, I had no use for this shield. I needed a cooking pot.
And it's from one of Senshi's ancestors.
Yeah, it is from one of his ancestors, like, passed down over time.
So... But after everybody gets rezzed, then we have our game plan. They decide that, which Marcel, even though she's still kind of sick, decides
You passed over the whole tentacle thing where they go to fight the tentacle monster. The ivy tentacles.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We find out that Namari, loves nothing but dwarf made weapons, and she shames Senshi because of like his armor and his axe, and he needs to take better care of all this stuff.
You didn't take care of that.
But I love the scene where they're going to look for Leo stops. He's like, there's a monster around here. They're like, what are you talking about? He's like, there's a monster, because his sword like rattles, and they go and shoot like the darkness where all the tentacles are, and nothing happened because the monster is above them. Right. And the monster grabs whatever that girl's name is who's with them. Kiki, I think her name is. I think it was like Kiki and Coco or something. I don't remember what. I think it was Kiki.
It's Kiki and Kaka, I think.
Kiki and Kaka. What's your name? My name's Kaka.
Because they're twins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they grab her.
See if I can find it.
Yeah, they grab her, and then they're like, oh, what are we going to do? They find out that it's Ivy, and what if this vines touch you, they paralyze you. So you become paralyzed. And Leos is like, okay, I know what I'm going to do. Since I have a full suit of armor, Senshi, let me borrow your helmet. And
yes, it's Kaka and Kiki.
Is it Kaka, like, Spanish for like poop?
I don't know.
I think it's like shit. Anyways, so like we get to see Senshi without his helmet on for the first time, which he looks amazing. And Leos puts it on, and he goes and he gets caught up in the vines, and he ends up getting the crossbow loose, and Senshi goes to grab it. He hands it to Namari. Namari shoots, and
kills the monster, which we find out that Leos gets paralyzed and his face is all like fucked up and whatnot. And I love this.
It's like getting stung by a jellyfish.
Yeah. And Senshi grabs one of the cut vines and he's holding it. And he like cuts it and peels it like a banana. And he's like, "Oh, let's try this." And he like eats it. And he's like, "Oh, that tastes."
And it's stuck to his hand.
Yeah, it's stuck to his hand because he can't move his hand, which is the funniest thing ever. Because this bit goes on for quite some time.
They don't say it, but I really feel like the tentacle has barbs that do that.
It does. They pictured it, and when they go into like the little diagram thing, it did have barbs that shot out.
Yeah,
and so that he peels it like a banana. And the whole bit is like he's holding this thing. He's telling people, it's like, "Oh, try this. You know, try this piece. Try this piece." Because they cut it into fours,
and each one has a different flavor.
Yes,
which and like threw me off.
They're like, "Oh, I don't like this." And he's like, "Oh, it's kind of sweet." And mine tastes like
sweet.
Mine tastes like vinegar.
Spicy. Yeah.
Yeah.
This one's spicy.
Yeah, and there's
this
whole
one's salty.
Yeah, the whole bit where he can't drop it. And like he finally gets unparalyzed and he like finally drops it. Everybody's like, "Yay!" He's like, "You know what? This might taste better if we cooked it." And then that's Leos's cue. That's Leos's word. Let's cook it. That's his like his word of affirmation type of thing. You know, like, "Oh yeah, let's eat something." And they do, and they make, I forget, what do they make with it?
They make stew.
Oh, they make stew. Yeah, because they go and they're gonna cook it, but they decide. Marcel decides that she's gonna trap the water monster within Senshi's pot.
And, right, Marcel is out of mana.
Yes.
Which she's technically like mana sick. That's she got healed, but that's basically what's going on. She ran out of mana. She's mana sick at this current moment. And that's where they talk about, okay, well, if we use two people with strength, we should be able to get this Undyne. And so we have Senshi that has one side of the pot, and we have Namari that has
Leos,
the other part.
Leos had it first, but he couldn't handle it.
Right.
But Namari handles it.
Right. So, which I love that scene where... it comes at them to attack, and then it starts reforming right in front of them on where they're standing, and they put the pot and the lid together, and you can hear this thing like banging to get out or whatever, and they're like struggling, like they look like two bodybuilders trying to move like a 600-pound ball, and they're carrying it together, and they're just one little step at a time, let's go, and they're going to put it over the fire and boil it and make like Undyne stew water.
Yeah, because Marcel ends up drinking it and starts to feel better. And I like this scene. It's a little nice touch because, you know, usually it's Senshi's the one who cooks the meal, you know?
Right.
And Marcel gets to cook the meal at this point, which she makes a stew, and it looks nice. It looks like a nice little stew.
Right. Yeah. And that was kind of refreshing that we have gotten a little trade going because... Yeah. I mean, we did have the whole thing where Senshi and Chilchuck were trying to do the thing with the mimic, where they were getting the lobster part out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Chilchuck learning like, "Oh, well, my lockpick tools can do more than just, you know."
Yeah, I can use locks. It as like a chopstick or whatever.
Right. I can pull the meat out.
Yeah, pull the meat out of it. Even though Chilchuck didn't like that.
Right.
Because he's like, "Those tools are mine for thievery and stuff."
But as Senshi says, you know, it's always better to have food than just whatever your plain ingredient is too. So thus we get the stew. It recharges everybody, basically like a health potion kind of sorta. Helps Marcel's blood loss. It also helps her regain all of her magic back that we know of. And all that stuff. Which then we also get this kind of backstory with Namari and stuff on when she left. If she left the Tansu's party, that basically she would kind of be an unwanted person to join parties because everybody would see her as joining a party for money.
It would be like an unsavory individual.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
There was and one, so there was,
she'd get unwanted requests for her to join like thieves parties and things like
that.
You were saying?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So there was one touch that I did like, and it was early on in the episode where like, so they're bringing back Namari with the magic.
Right.
Leos like makes a comment about it. And Senshi says, you know, it's unnatural. Like, I don't like that, you know, you can just bring back the dead.
Right.
Which I'm curious if that foreshadows anything, if possible. Later on, you know?
Yeah.
Because he also mentions, like, several friends he used to have, and he doesn't have them anymore. You know?
Right.
Could they possibly be dead friends? You know? Maybe the golems are his friends?
Well, if they died on the outside of the thing.
Yeah, they wouldn't be able to heal him or revive him.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It was just interesting, like, the phobia he had for, like, magic and like, or like healing revival magic, it seemed like.
Senshi?
Yeah.
I also think he doesn't like it because of like how the dungeon works. Like, he feels like people shouldn't come back unless they come back as a zombie. You know what I'm saying? And because everything that he does has no magic aspect to it.
That's true.
Even though it kind of does, it's nothing that he really sees.
Yeah.
So
no, yeah.
In that sense, like we talked about last episode, he kind of reminds me of like Earthsea, where it's, you know, why use magic when you can do things with your hand? Because then you get rusty if you don't use those skills, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I noticed that the first time or. The second time I watched, I should say, the second watch through. And one thing I have to say, when I first watched this episode, because I watched the episode twice. Yeah. When I first watched this episode, I was not a big fan of Namari. Like, I kind of feel like she messed up with the dynamic of the party a little bit. Yeah. Like by coming in, but like second time watching it, I feel like I'm a little like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like not as harsh on Namari.
Right.
I feel like she's probably coming around as a character that's okay. You know, yeah. She just rubbed me the wrong way the first time I watched it.
Well, and the way I kind of see it is, let me touch on one other thing real quick. We do have where they ask about Shiro, which we see him in the opening of it, which is the samurai looking guy.
Yeah.
And he's also a tall man, but from a distant land, you know. And he was in the party as well. And we do have the whole part where Namari says, well, you know, she thinks Shiro is going to basically try and have a rescue party too to get Fallon. Because he was in love with her. And that also tells us how, like, loopy Leos was. Like, he just doesn't... He doesn't get social cues, you know what I'm saying?
No. No, he doesn't.
But in saying that, we know that... And we know with the next episode, whenever we get a little fighting strategy for fighting dragons, that Namari and Shiro were both kind of, like, in-your-face melee-type people. And the funny thing is while we do have both those characters, I really feel like the addition of having Senshi instead of both of them is actually his comparison of both of them.
I could see that, yeah.
Like, the party only needed Senshi compared to Shiro and Namari. Which, the other funny thing is if you really look at the names too, like, Senshi is the S for Shiro and the I for at the end of Namari. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that was really the thing with that, because we got this person that knows weapons and stuff, but this whole time we haven't worried about weapons, you know?
Yes. And she very much doesn't worry about weapons at all.
Right. And then the other thing in that sense, like, since she almost reminds me of Goblin Slayer, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I guess kind of, yeah,
if,
a little bit.
If I have a weapon, I'll just fucking pick it up.
Yeah. You know, he's like, I have everything I need kind of thing, you know, on me. You know, right, I don't really need anything else.
And if this breaks, I can pick up another one as we go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I do get some of the item thing of Goblin Slayer with Senshi, I feel like, as well.
Yeah, I can see that. I can kind of see that in the next episode a little bit when we get into that, you know?
Right. So our next episode, we start out with the giant frogs. But instead of going into our party with that, why don't we talk about from where Namari and the Tansus and Kiki and Kaka actually left?
Yeah.
So we'll cover that part, and then we'll come back to our party. So at the end of episode 9, we did see them actually teleport out of the dungeon back. Whatever Tansu was looking for, he did find a little something of, I guess, with the party.
He found some scribes or some spells or something scratched into the wall.
Yeah, he found that, I think, before Laos and all them.
Yeah, I don't know if he found anything else. I know they did go off when they were preparing the meal.
Right.
Later on to check stuff. But I don't remember if he actually probably found something off screen.
Maybe, yeah.
Or even before this episode, he found something.
Which I did like. We got to go back to episode 9 for a second. I did like where they included him at the end, where it was everybody
together. Like, here, come join us. Because they were apprehensive to eat the food.
Right. And then him eating it was kind of like his recognition of like all that. Because he didn't eat the banana thing.
Yeah, it's like, oh, your friend, eat with us, you know?
Yeah, and then he accepted it. So that was
that
was my turning point with Tansu, as like, oh, maybe he's coming around.
I mean, I still don't like Tansu. I think he's an asshole.
I don't like Tansu either, but, you know, I feel like him having this healing magic is what gives him the ability to be an asshole.
To be honest, I hope he dies.
I mean, he did go back. He did go back up. If he's not in the dungeon, that means he can die, right?
Yeah, I hope he dies.
So we have that, and Namari passes out. Obviously, they go back, and we start episode 10 with Namari waking up in a bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
She was tired and passed out, and so Tansu gives her her pay and everything, and he's like, I have to go talk to the king of the island, I think it was.
I think so. Something like that.
Some
king or something. I don't remember what.
And then they send, he tells Kiki and Kaka basically to watch after Namari, whatever she wants to do and stuff. And they go to, it looks like a church.
Maybe like a church or like an inn or something. I don't remember
what it is. And it's really more like a catacomb situation. It's one of the places that goes down into the dungeon enough where the spell still works with the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come back to claim somebody or whatever, they're still technically in the dungeon. They're just in the outskirts of the dungeon.
Okay.
So that's why all those bodies that were wrapped up, those were unclaimed bodies.
Oh, because didn't they mention like there are people that come behind to collect like the dead bodies?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you have money or whatever, you can pay to have your loved one revived.
And I was kind of expecting to see like, what was his name, like Kabu or whatever his name was and his group there.
That's what I was expecting to see too, but that wasn't the case. They still got to be in the dungeon. But we did get a lot of history stuff here. So we got that, yes, which we already knew, Fallon's not there. with Namari double checking, and then we jump back to Mr. Tensu, who goes to see the king guy, and they find out some history, why he went down there, which we've already covered, where he went to go find these magic circles, and they're trying to find the stuff. We also have another part that kind of like ownership of land.
Oh, which, yeah.
Which the elves thing is, this really seems like Texas.
The elves own.
Do you get what I'm saying by that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like fucking Six Flags.
Yeah.
You know, like the elves had it at one point. The dwarves fought back to try and take it. The dwarves took part of it. And then they lived there for a little while. Then the elves came back to reclaim it, and the tall men, or our humans, ended up helping them. And so they basically gave this land to the tall men to have. And now the elves
want it back.
Want to, quote unquote, Indian give and take it back.
That's true. They're a bunch of Indian givers. How could they?
Yeah, those bastards.
Just fucking Texas all over again.
Right?
Yeah.
So we do know that there is a party of elves on their way. We don't know when they're going to show up because they hadn't shown up yet, but we do know that they will pop up in one of the future episodes that we will watch. It could be episode 11. So, you know, if we wait for Thursday.
Yeah.
We might see some elves besides Marcel.
Marcel's a half elf.
Touche.
She's not full elf. She's only half.
I couldn't remember.
Okay, sorry. I just happen to remember that.
So we get that. We get this. We get the actual name of the Mad Mage. That there is somebody that controls the dungeon, and they think that he or they were not super sure what the gender of the Mad Mage is yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that
they have like the power, supposedly have the power of immortality.
Right. Immortality. And that also whatever the spell is that they have is what radiates throughout the dungeon to stay alive.
Yeah.
We also have, something that is brought up about how, there's less treasure being spawned on higher floors, but there's more monsters that are coming out.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I must have missed that part.
They said that there are more monsters moving around or whatever, and that they're coming to higher floors. And that because of that, there's less and less treasure.
Oh, interesting. So,
yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense if you really, like, sit down and think about it. Because think about whenever we got to the treasure bugs, that was really the only set of treasure we found.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, did they find treasure and when they had that room full of chests? Oh, no.
The one with the mimic?
No, it was before that when they got the oil from the fire thing. It wasn't like episode 2, I think.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, but you're probably right. You're probably right.
Yeah. But we have that. We have that they are trying to reach the castle. Mm-hmm. And they find, going back to our party, because basically with Tansu and the king or whatever, like, we get all that. That's what we know. We have the history part of this, which, you know, was fine to know. We finally got an info dump part. For this, you know, it's fine, but was it as entertaining as our party in the dungeon? I don't think so.
Maybe.
But we also now are having other things. This is the part that I like. Now we have all these other things that are getting pulled in from other places. So we have where the orcs that we met on the third floor have now told us, like, this is a staircase that we went down.
Yeah, and they there's a bunch of like vines and overgrowth down the staircase.
Right.
Yeah.
So the party's kind of like, do we go down here? Do we chance it? Do we not?
Like, what are we gonna do? Like, Leif's like, oh, we can cut our way through. You know, it'll be nothing.
Oh my god, that was my favorite part. He like moved like maybe 10 feet and was like, all right guys, I think we've got pretty good through. And he turns around and he's like three steps down from the top of the stairs, and it's like,
yeah,
well, this and is gonna be a long time.
I think it's like already starting to kind of grow back behind them or whatever. But I love this scene where we find out that there are frogs in the vines.
Oh my gosh, right?
Yeah.
And they look like tree frogs.
They look like those poison dart frogs.
Yeah.
That's what they remind me of. And they are poisonous, kind of. I think they're poisonous. And they go try to fight them off, but Leos' sword gets stolen, and Marcel's staff gets taken and dropped down the shaft.
Yeah, I just have to say, from a DM standpoint, these are like some really fucking great creatures. Because anybody else would have been like, "Oh yeah, you know, it has to move to the stairs to you, and then it steals your weapon, then it drops it like it's 2 feet away from you or something." These frogs are like, "No, we're gonna hang right in the middle. We're gonna grab it, and then we're gonna drop it all the way down like the middle of the chute of these stairs.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to make it down, or you're not gonna be able to get your weapons back." You know,
I think the only ones who have their weapons are Chilchuck, and Sinchi has his weapon as well. And Chilchuck notices that the vine is like coming out of a trap.
And like, yeah, he notices that it's plump. It looks plumper and twisted in a different way from the other one. So he's like, there has to be a trap behind it.
Yeah, and so like he goes over there while the others are like struggling with this frog, because the frog has his tongue wrapped around Senshi's axe.
Yes.
And he's like holding him, and like Chilchuck goes, he's trying to pull this thing out. They're like, "What are you doing, Chilchuck? Like, you know, come on, help us, you know, kill the thing." And we know
it's like a big arrow or a spear.
And an arrow goes to like the frog's head, I think it is. And they end up...
But you got to remember what happened before that.
Oh, exploding frog.
No, the frog was trying to do that. He released Senshi's axe that all three of the other people were holding. And he went to go eat Chilchuck.
That's what it was, yeah. He tries to eat him.
With the force of pulling Chilchuck, it was able to undo the vine, and then the arrow got released and went straight through the frog's head.
That's what it was. And they find out, which that was a cool scene. I
like. Oh
that
my
scene.
God. Pulling out Chilchuck
oh my God.
Oh my God. You know, like it makes me think about like if someone gets eaten by like a creature and they're still alive.
Yeah. And they go and they like, they notice like, oh, like the frogs aren't getting like messed with when they touch these vines. That's so weird. So what do? They go full Silence of the Lambs and make skin suits.
Right.
They make some skin suits and they put them on.
And they were pretty cool. I would wear a hoodie like this.
You would wear a frog skin suit?
I would wear a frog-shaped hoodie.
And Marcel's like, "No, I'm not going to wear this." And they're like, "Come on, Marcel. We think you'll look good in it." And she's like, "I don't want to fucking wear this thing." And so like they finally get through and they go to take off.
No, when they start complimenting her so much, she's like, "Okay, I'll put it on."
She's like, "Oh, you look good in this. You look cute, Marcel." Ooh,
yeah, we made one just for you. It'll look great.
And I think it's funny, like, their eyeballs are, like, on the top of their head, and, you know, and...
And they're sewed shut. See, I think this is the first part besides, like, the food stuff, which is kind of one-dimensional for Leos, but I feel like this is the first one, like, we know, like, Leos is a good, like, mother figure, I would say, because he knows how to sew and do clothes and all this other stuff. And he's sitting there talking about it, and he's like, "Look, and we even sewed up the eyes. They look like little bear ears." And I was like, "I would do that shit to somebody."
So they finally get down to the bottom, and they get their stuff back. And we find out that I didn't know this, but Marcel actually named her staff.
Yes.
It's named Ambrosia? And I'm like, yes. Why would you name it Ambrosia?
Was shocked too.
I was like, okay.
I was like, we've went through this whole thing so far. Didn't know that she had a staff name. Her staff was named something.
Yeah,
because we did have Kintsugi, but yeah. I was like, so your staff is named Ambrosia. Okay. Now I'm just kind of waiting for, like, is Senshi's axe got a name?
Like,
you know, does Chilchuck's little thing have a name?
Ambrosia is such a weird name to come up with, because that's like the fruit of the gods. If I remember correctly, right? Like in Greek mythology?
Maybe?
I think it's like the food of the gods, and if you eat it, you can like become a god. At least from my Hercules, Xena the Warrior Princess knowledge, that's what I know of Ambrosia to be.
Maybe?
Like if you would eat it, you'd get like the power of the gods. Because it was like their fruit that they would eat.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that. I'll
look that up.
I mean, that's what I learned from Hercules, watching Hercules, the legendary adventure.
Goodness. All right.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
But we get down. I'll let you Google that word.
I can't say this word.
What?
Persimmon? Persimmonym?
Persephone?
Persimmon.
I don't know who that is.
Persimmon. Okay. Persimmon.
Okay.
Persimmon. I don't fucking know. It says that's what the fruit of the gods is.
Is it? Okay.
Oh no, here's another article that says ambrosia is also foodstuff of the gods.
Yeah.
For longevity.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Longevity, and it's what makes them immortal.
That's what it is. Okay. So we get down to the bottom, like we said, and we go into the castle. Is it Castle Town? Is where they go? So they end up going? They go to Castle Town, or it's called Castle something, right?
I think it's Castle Town.
They go to Castle Town, and this is like this huge city within the dungeon.
Castle City is what it's called.
Castle City, okay. And they go there, and they find out. This is where they find out where the orcs were, and the red dragon has been through here. And so they go to set up a plan of attack to fight the red dragon is what they do.
And they're going to use all the buildings and everything and know like where to steer the dragon and everything to be able to attack it.
That's right. And so Marcel, Laos, and Chilchuck go to form this plan. We think Senshi is with them, but he's not with them at this point. And we find out later that Senshi's actually making bread later on, which is, I find weird that Senshi wouldn't be with them, but it also makes me think that like Senshi doesn't really care about defeating the dragon. It seems like
I think he does and he doesn't. I think Senshi's always like, no matter what, like eat food. Food is what prepares you for life,
yeah,
or whatever. And so, you know, he wanted to make the bread to be able to do that, which, I mean, we did get like this bread and like frog cutlets and some other stuff that they made.
Didn't they like deep made fry the frog?
Yeah. And I think they put it on in the bread. Maybe
when I saw this part, I was like, oh, they made shake and bake.
Oh yeah, that is true.
Because they breaded the frog meat.
Yes. Yeah, he like, shaved the bread. That's what it was.
Shake and a bake.
Yeah, because he's like, we don't have an egg, but this should still work.
Yeah, this is still work, you know. And they have this nice meal, and then we find out that
frog meat katsu.
They find out that, oh, the dragon's here. Like, what are we going to do? You know?
Right. But we did get another little insight into when they first fought this dragon. The problem that they had the last time was they were also all out of energy and everything because they didn't eat.
Mm-hmm. So Senshi basically has saved them so far by letting them eat and whatnot. And is this where the episode ends? Is where the dragon shows up?
Yes.
Like, that's where the episode ends?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So, let me ask you, what did you think of these two episodes?
I really enjoyed them. I'm glad that we've gotten to this part where we are ready for all these episodes / chapters with the Red Dragon.
Mm-hmm. We're moving into like the volume 2, right, of the manga.
No, we're moving into, we're out on the first one of first chapter of volume 4.
Okay. I was just curious.
And then the rest of volume 4 is Red Dragon 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Okay.
And then we'll get to Red Dragon 7 in Volume 5. So I really think probably at Volume 7 is probably where our anime for this will probably end, at least to Season 1.
Yeah, which it's really interesting because they're doing like 2 to 3 chapters, I believe, or something like that for each episode, right? So they're moving fairly fast.
Right.
Through this, which we talked about this off air, and I was like, are we going to be ending this like Season 1 soon, like a cliffhanger or something? And you're like, I don't know, maybe, you know, which that concerned me, you know, a little bit to hear.
Yeah. Like, oh, no, like how much they're going to put on these together, because they could technically do like, just call it Red Dragon. And have part 1, part 2.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like they might, if they do that and they do a 2-parter, I feel like they could stop at episode 12.
Episode 12 or 13?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could possibly see that. Because these are getting simultaneously released in Japan as well, I believe. So, like, they're not, like, ahead of us, like, at all. Right. So, like, when an episode comes out, like, it gets added to the list. It's like, so I can't like see like how many episodes are out this season, which is, it's such a tease, I would have to say, you know, for us knowing how to like spread out our episodes to like, you know, cover for the podcast.
Right. I honestly feel like we'll have to do it like the Inuyasha Viz Bigs, where it will be either our last episode will be 2 and 2, or it'll be 3 episodes.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see where we go from here. I mean,
we're also at chapter 22. Yeah. And as far as the manga goes, there's 97.
Yeah, because I think 14 is the last volume.
I think so too. It's like either 14 or 15.
Yeah.
15 doesn't have a release date yet.
I do have to say, I did enjoy these episodes. Not as much as the last two, but I did enjoy this, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how they wrap this up and where the story is going to go after this, because obviously with the Red Dragon and stuff, something's going to happen, you know?
Right.
And, our one thing I have to mention, though, in this episode, they used forks. They didn't use chopsticks, I found out. Which I was like, I was blown away. Like, oh my god. Like, because in the first episode, they used like chopsticks. And I was like, where'd they get these forks from?
You know, I don't remember seeing them use forks in this one either.
They use forks when they're eating the frog.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like,
I don't remember that part at all.
I enjoyed this, even though Namari rubbed me the wrong way. You know, I'm interested to see if she does come back into the party, and then we get that other guy, the samurai guy, to show up, and how they integrate them into the party, obviously. I do have a theory. Do you want to hear my theory?
Sure.
On how this season will possibly end?
Sure.
This is just my theory now, okay. So I have a theory that they will save Fallon. They will save her. And at the end, they're going to kill the dragon. And my hope is that they eat the dragon.
No spoilers, but...
They eat the dragon. That's what I hope for.
No spoilers, because I know exactly what's going
to
happen.
Okay. Am I close?
I'll give you half of that.
Okay.
I will give you half of that. They do eat dragon.
Okay. But do they eat the red dragon?
The other thing I don't want to spoil nothing for you.
Okay.
Because half of that goes into things that I don't know.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. But I mean, I did enjoy these particular episodes. I would give them a 3.5 out of 5. Like a 3.5 out of 5, I would say.
I'd give it a 4.
I mean, that's good. That you enjoyed them more than I did, I feel like.
I did. Yeah. I usually enjoy this more than you did.
But I mean, I'm still invested. I'm still invested into the story.
Right.
And whatnot, you know.
So, did you have a question to ask me?
Yes.
At the end of this?
So I have a question. So okay. This is like this is off topic, because I wanted to get your reaction. I thought it was kind of funny. So hypothetically,
Are you going to relate it to Delicious One Dungeon for me?
Well, it involves food. It involves food and eating. So do y'all have? Oh no, I'll go into it. So like, let's say hypothetically, you're wanting to potentially date or become a suitor to like a person,
okay,
and you want to take him on like a quote first date. Would you?
Are you asking me what I have to tell people?
No,
I always have to tell people. Sorry, I can't take you on a date. I'm taken to my heterosexual life partner on the Otakuology podcast.
Let me ask you.
You're like that blew me away. I didn't know that's what you were going
to
say.
I'm asking you this because somebody who listens to the podcast wanted to know. Okay. They shall remain nameless, but shout out to that person. Hi, we are giving you acknowledgement.
I'm giving dating advice.
It's Daddy Graves dating advice.
Jesus.
Okay. Daddy Grave dating advice. So would you invite that person out to go to eat at Jason's Deli for your first date?
I mean, sure. I don't find a problem with that.
You don't find a problem with that whatsoever?
No.
I mean, really?
Because, well, and I don't know how it is in Texas. You know. Uh-huh. I know here, like, our Jason's Deli is pretty, like, swanky. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Like, ours is pretty swanky.
Okay, because I haven't been to a Jason's Deli since the 90s.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they, like, changed up, you know, and made themselves better. But, you know, everybody I've talked to has said no to Jason's Deli.
Yeah. You're making it sound like it's, like, taking somebody to Subway.
Maybe like a fancy Subway, right?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, ours is a little more swanky than that. Yeah.
Okay. So to you, Jason's Deli is an okay adventure to take a date on.
Oh yeah, because I mean, it's more like what company you're gonna have versus like, you know, unless you're going for the experience.
Okay. Well, if it's for the experience, no.
No, if it's just going for the experience, I mean, everybody's had shit that you can get at Jason's Deli, so, you know.
It's not like anything special.
No. Loaded potatoes, I mean, you know, we have totally different places you can get shit from there. Subs, I mean, you know, like, I don't know. Jason's Deli to me also is, like, if you know you're going there, but it's probably like really good food if like it was somebody that you want to say, hey, I brought you lunch. Then you got
like, hey, like let's grab something quick to eat kind of thing.
No, no. I mean, like you just buy them lunch and you bring it to them and you go, you just know,
buy them lunch. Yeah.
Yeah. I got you Jason's Deli.
So Jason's Deli is not a bad place. That's what you're saying.
I would say no, Jason's Deli is not a bad place for a first date. Now, would I take somebody there for a first date? Probably not.
Okay. I was just checking because probably it's been a very, not. It's been a very polarizing topic in the world of Otaku Mike's work on whether or not Jason's Deli is a good place to go eat at. And I'm like, I remember it not being that greatest thing ever.
Right, right.
But that is just me.
See, but ours is like meant for you to sit down. It's not a take and go.
Like if I want to take somebody on a first date, we're going to dinner, you know?
I also think that you need to know who you're taking.
True. You know? That's true.
Just like all related to the podcast, just like we have to know our audience and geared our episodes and stuff towards those that audience of people, you also have to be able to do that with this. Just like yours and my first date where we went to the taco joint and you and I got big ass fucking burritos, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I knew you were a burrito guy. So I was like, that's first place. We're gonna go eat at the burrito joint.
You got to feel out your
did the kahuna challenge. I mean, you know, we touched tips.
We did touch tips. We touched the tips.
So, I mean, you know, and there's a picture somewhere if people want to see touching tips.
I think it's on our Instagram. I know it's on my
Instagram. It is too. I think it's farther down though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, go check out whoever's Instagram it's on. You can see that picture. But yeah, I think you have to like know your person better. You know, is it something that said person gets on a regular basis? Like if they're a soup person, why am I going to want to take them somewhere where we're going to get soup? You know what I'm saying? Versus like, why not take them somewhere where you can get like ramen or, you know, a fancy joint where maybe we're trying a bunch of stuff on the menu, you know?
I was going to say,
I mean, to me at this point too, like if you go to like a low grade sushi place, that's more of like a cafe place too. Like,
I have to say, so we've been trying new places around town.
Yeah.
Like Tiffany and I have been trying new places around town. And there's this new place.
That's Otaku Tiff, if anybody
knows. Sorry, Otaku Tiff. Sorry, my bad. Yeah. Otaku Tiff. We've been trying new places. When did she become
a wrestler?
I don't know.
Otaku Tiff. She's going to come and she's going to beat your ass. She's going to jump from the top of the ring. Ooh, yeah, the cream rises to the crop.
Otaku Tiff pities the fool.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I feel like at some point, when she listens to this episode, she's going to do that, and y'all are going to be out, and just randomly, she's going to be like, you're going to be like, you know, this is pretty good food. She's going to be like, Otaku Tiff disagrees. You. And she'll do it when you least expect it and catch your ass off guard.
I pity the fool.
You'll be like, she'll take you to Jason's Deli and mid you drinking your soup, you know, like slurping out of the bowl. She'll be like, Otaku Tiff pities the fool. And you'll just, you squirt. I mean, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to happen.
Yeah. No, I but like, there's just one place we got to go to. And I tried. It was really good. It's called Marfa Texas Kitchen.
Yeah.
It's like, I took a picture and posted it on my, I got a steak and fries, which is, oh my God, it was so good. It was so good. It was delish. We got to go there. Like, I know we got a bunch of places to go to when you ever eventually come down here.
We do. We have a bunch of places to go.
Yeah.
Too many places to go. Like, I may have to take off work for a month.
Maybe.
Just go to all these places.
Yeah. But anyways, thanks for listening.
Same. I got a lot of places for us to go, too, when you come back. So,
thanks for listening, people. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. You can check us out on our Instagram. Reach out to us on there. That's the best way to talk to us.
Right.
Remember to rate and review the podcast.
Anybody that listens to this that does art, you listen to the podcast and you know how to do art and you've done any delicious in Dungeon, hit us up.
We could use some fan art. Would I be Senshi? Obviously, I'll be Senshi because I have the beard, right? You can be Leos.
Hold on. When was the last fucking time that you saw my face?
I've seen your face recently.
I mean, my beard's like 2.5 inches long.
You can't connect it, so it's just like a chin beard.
Hey, whatever. Fuck you, buddy. My hair's longer. Oh, my hair everywhere is longer than yours. Okay.
My hair's pretty luscious at the moment. Just saying.
Luscious and long. Yeah. Two different things, buddy.
It's luscious and, you know, it's getting long. I need to get it.
How far does the hair on your head go?
It goes to my ears.
Oh, yeah. See, I got you beat.
Mine's it's like, fine. It's whatever.
Mine's like a third of the way down my back. So.
But my beard is longer than your beard.
Whenever I take my stuff off, my helmet off, I look exactly like Senshi with his crazy hair before he gets the Kelpie oil in it.
Okay. But anyways, make sure to share the podcast, rate and review the podcast. Leave us a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or Apple Podcasts. It's called. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll read your review on the podcast and tell you thank you and we appreciate you. You know, it's the best way to help the podcast grow.
Maybe we'll even invite you on the podcast.
Ooh, yeah. Maybe you can be a guest on the podcast.
Guest star.
Yeah. But anyways, we'll catch you everybody later, guys and gals. You know. And what do we say to him?
Well, side note.
Okay.
R.I.P. R.I.P.
R.I.P. Akira Toriyama.
Yep. There you go. There you go. Yeah. With that, we'll see you next Tuesday.
Peace out. Stay safe.